Welcome to the Deep Dive. We've got a pretty intense topic for you all today: gender dynamics and societal values. I mean, woo.
It's a big one.
Yeah. You guys sent us this YouTube debate from Fresh and Fit Clips, and the title alone, 40 plus body count Karen got wrecked after she denied biology.
Yeah, that's quite a title.
It definitely got our attention. So we're gonna break down this whole war of words, two very different perspectives on masculinity, femininity, and how relationships fit in today's world.
It's fascinating how this debate really gets into like these deep-seated beliefs about, well, men and women, just
Yeah.
especially in dating, right?
Yeah.
So the video, it features a male speaker and a female speaker. And right away, the male speaker kind of just lays out his worldview. Men are the leaders, women are the followers. And he says it's all rooted in biology. So he's arguing that a man's value increases with age and accomplishments, while a woman's peaks when she's young and beautiful. And he ties this all back to like the biological imperative to reproduce.
So it's like he's saying relationships are what, like a transaction or
Yeah,
something?
there's a very traditional view, very transactional. And he actually uses this analogy. He says women get like $1 million up front
Oh,
in the
gosh.
form of their beauty, their youthful beauty. And they need to invest it wisely by finding, a high-status man while their value is high.
I don't know about you, but something about that just kind of rubs me the wrong way.
It's a little blunt.
Yeah.
And this is where things start to get interesting, because the female speaker pushes back hard.
Word, yeah.
She challenges his black and white view of relationships, saying that there's got to be room for nuance, individual expression, choices, things that go beyond just biology. You know what I mean? And she brings up her own parents as an example, saying her mom has like a dominant personality. But they've had a successful marriage for over 25 years.
So she's basically saying, like, hey, not all women fit into this submissive box, and they can still have great relationships.
Right. Exactly. It's like she's saying, look, my mom doesn't fit your stereotype and she's doing just fine. But then she throws this curveball.
Okay, here we go.
She admits that even though she disagrees with this whole men lead, women follow thing, she actually enjoys being submissive sometimes,
Oh, interesting.
especially in the bedroom. So she's kind of acknowledging that those traditional roles, they can be fun, even empowering in certain situations, but they don't define her entire identity or the complexity of relationships.
That is fascinating. It's like, okay, maybe there's some truth to those traditional roles, but it's not the whole story.
Exactly. And it actually ties into this concept from psychology called sexual scripts. These are basically learned behaviors and expectations surrounding sexualities, right?
Okay, I've been following.
And they can be very different depending on like culture, upbringing, and personal preferences. So even though the female speaker is kind of like challenging traditional gender roles, she's also showing how these scripts can, well, influence us, like our desires and behaviors, in intimate settings.
Okay, so this is where I think the debate really starts to heat up. They get into this discussion about the female speaker's sexual history, and she reveals she's had 42 partners.
And 42, wow.
Yeah, and this is where the male speaker, well, he kind of digs in.
Yeah.
He argues that her body count is going to hurt her chances of finding a relationship. He even uses this analogy, getting the milk without buying the cow.
Oh boy.
It's like he's implying that men are less likely to commit if a woman has had a lot of partners.
Yeah, he's basically tapping into this common societal double standard, right? Where women are judged more harshly than men for their sexual history.
Totally. It's like a woman's value is tied to her purity or something, while men get praised for the same behavior.
Yeah, exactly.
So unfair. But the female speaker, she doesn't back down. She tries to move the conversation away from just biology and reproduction, saying that, hey, women have a bigger purpose, right? Like career goals, art, personal fulfillment.
It's like she's pushing back against this idea that a woman's worth is all about finding a husband and having babies.
Exactly. She's saying, hey, I've got other dreams too. Okay.
Right.
But, and this is where things get really complicated, she reveals that to fund those goals, those big goals, she's working as a stripper.
Oh, wow.
And the male speaker, he basically says, see, even your rebellion proves my point about sex and reproduction being at the core of society.
That's a really interesting point, actually. It highlights this tension between societal expectations and personal ambition, right? Especially for women. It raises questions about like economic disparities, opportunities, and well, the choices women sometimes make to navigate all of that.
Yeah, it's like a catch-22. She's trying to break free from traditional roles, but the way she's doing it kind of reinforces those very stereotypes she's fighting.
Absolutely. You know, this leads to a whole other layer of this debate, the who built the world argument. The male speaker, he claims men built all the infrastructure, and the female speaker's like, hold up. That ignores all the contributions women have made to art, creation, and all the unseen work that keeps society functioning.
It's almost like they have completely different ways of measuring success, you know, like whose contributions really matter. And then the male speaker throws out this question. Can you imagine if 50% of the population decided to stop chasing anything?
Wow, that's thought-provoking, to say the least.
Yeah.
He's really asking us to consider what would happen if those traditional gender roles were just completely flipped.
Right. And then, just when you think things can't get any crazier, the conversation takes this unexpected turn into motherhood.
Okay.
Two other women on the panel, they chime in, and they both emphasize how having kids became their main focus, even above their careers.
It's interesting because it brings in this whole other perspective, the lived experiences of women who have embraced those more traditional roles, right?
Yeah.
Like, it shows how diverse women's choices can be, how those choices are shaped by their values, by societal pressures, and, you know, by the real demands of raising a family.
Absolutely. And then the debate heats up again.
Oh.
Because the male speaker argues that a woman wanting a career is a masculine thing.
Right.
While the female speaker says that having children is the first form of art.
Wow, that's quite a statement.
Right. It's like they're both trying to define what a real man or woman is, but their definitions are total opposites.
It really speaks to the limitations of, well, rigid gender roles, doesn't it? It's like, how do we define success and fulfillment for men and women?
Mm-hmm.
And do those definitions allow for, like, individual expression and, you know, the full range of human experiences?
Right. So we've gone from biology and body counts to the who built the world debate to the meaning of motherhood. It's a lot to take in. So before we jump into the final part of this whole explosive conversation, I'm curious, what's sticking with you so far? What surprised you the most?
It's been quite a ride, hasn't it? And in the next part, we're going to unpack even more of the nuances and implications of this debate. So stick with us.
Stay tuned.
Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Before the break, we were really in the thick of it with this YouTube debate. I gotta know, what are your thoughts so far? It's pretty intense, right?
It really is. You know, I can see where the male speaker is coming from in some ways. He's advocating for, like, a return to these traditional roles for men and women, right?
Right.
A world where, like, men are the providers and protectors and women are, well, the nurturers and the homemakers. But then there's the female speaker who's like, wait a minute, I want more than that. I want to build a career. I want financial independence. And I'm not going to, like, apologize for it, you know?
Yeah. It's really highlighting the clash between, like, these traditional values and, well, the modern desire for self-actualization, mm-hmm. especially for women. It brings up this question of whether those two things can even exist together, you know?
Yeah.
Can you have a society where both men and women can be ambitious and still have those traditional family structures? Like, how does that work?
Exactly. And it's not like the female speaker saying, I don't want relationships or I don't want kids. She's just saying, I want those things on my own terms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to be limited by what society says a woman should be.
It makes me think about this concept from sociology. It's called gender socialization.
Okay.
It's the process of learning the behaviors and attitudes that are, well, considered appropriate for your gender. Like, from when we're little, we get all these messages about what it means to be a good girl or a good boy. And those messages, they can be incredibly powerful. Like, they really shape our beliefs and choices as adults.
Mm. So are you saying that, like, the male speaker's views are just a product of how he was raised, that he was taught men should be dominant and women should be submissive?
Well, it's definitely possible. I mean, we all grow up absorbing those messages about gender from our families, our communities, the media, everything, really.
Yeah.
But it's also important to remember that people have agency, right?
Mm-hmm.
They can choose to challenge those messages and make their own paths. And that's what the female speaker seems to be doing. She's like, no, I'm going to do it my way.
Yeah. And let's be real. The elephant in the room is still her body count. I mean, the male speaker keeps coming back to that, using it to say she's, you know, not relationship material.
Right, right.
He's basically saying men are biologically programmed to go for women with lower body counts, like women who've had more partners or damaged goods or something.
It's such a harmful idea.
Yeah.
Like, A woman's worth is directly tied to her sexual history.
It's awful.
It's a form of slut shaming, and it's really ingrained in our culture.
Yeah.
And it can have, well, a devastating impact on women, on their self-esteem, their relationships.
Yeah, for sure. But the female speaker, she turns it around, you know? She's like, I've chosen to be single because the men who wanted to commit to me, they didn't meet my standards.
That's a good point.
It's like she's saying, look, I'm not just waiting for a man to validate me. I have my own criteria and I'm not going to settle.
She's reclaiming her narrative, basically, asserting her right to, well, make choices about her own body and relationships. It's a good reminder that women are not just passive in dating, they're active participants, right?
Absolutely. And then she drops this bomb. She reveals she's working as a stripper. It's like this giant middle finger to the male speaker's argument, you know?
Yeah, it's like she's saying, my value isn't about getting a rich husband, it's about what I can achieve on my own.
Exactly. She's taking control of her sexuality and using it to achieve her financial goals, like buying a house, building a career.
It's a bold move, for sure. It really challenges the traditional narrative around women, around sexuality and economic power. It asks us to question our assumptions, you know, about what it means to be a good woman and the choices women make, especially in a society that, well, doesn't always give them equal opportunities.
But the male speaker, of course, he's not impressed. He argues that, like, even her rebellion is part of his narrative because, well, she's still working within this system where men have most of the money. He says if she had a real man, she wouldn't need to strip.
It highlights this systemic inequality, especially the economic inequality, that still exists between genders. It's significant that she feels like she has to work as a stripper to reach her goals, right?
Mm-hmm.
It says a lot about the barriers women still face and the limited options that are sometimes available to them.
Yeah, for sure. And we should acknowledge that not all women have the same opportunities. You know, like the other women on the panel, they chose to put motherhood first over their careers. And that's, well, that's a valid choice.
Absolutely.
It speaks to how differently women define success and fulfillment.
Their perspective adds a whole other layer of nuance to this conversation. It shows there's no one right way to be a woman, you know?
Totally. And the tension really ramps up when they start talking about career aspirations again. The male speaker, he says that women wanting careers is a masculine thing.
Yeah.
And the female speaker counters with, having children is the first form of art. It's like they're trying to define what a real man or woman is, but their definitions are, like, totally opposite.
It goes back to those rigid gender roles, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
The male speaker is trying to put women back in this box where their purpose is, well, domesticity and motherhood. But her response, it's brilliant. By calling motherhood the first art form, she's elevating what's traditionally feminine, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's just as creative and valuable as any career.
It's like she's saying, don't you dare underestimate motherhood.
Right.
And then things get even crazier. She reveals she has a criminal record.
Whoa, hold on. Really? That's a huge twist.
It's like she's intentionally breaking that perfect image of femininity, the one the male speaker's trying so hard to maintain.
It's like she's saying, you want to judge me.
Yeah.
Fine. But this is the real me. The messy, unfiltered truth.
Yeah. And it makes us confront our own biases, you know? Do we automatically think less of someone because they have a record?
Right.
Or can we see past their past and recognize their worth, their potential? This whole debate, it's like peeling back the layers of an onion.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much complexity around gender, relationships, what society expects, individual choices, and we're not even done yet.
Before we get into the last round of this this explosive debate, we want to hear from you. What stood out to you the most? What are you wrestling with? Let's keep going with this deep dive together.
We're back for the final round of this YouTube debate. And I got to say, this whole conversation, it's really gotten me thinking, like, how do we define success, you know, and fulfillment, like, in our own lives?
Yeah, it's been a wild ride.
Yeah.
From biology and body counts to stripping and criminal records. It's like, nothing is off limits in this debate.
And it's crazy how these personal choices, they get so tied up with these big societal expectations. Like her decision to work as a stripper, right? It's like this act of rebellion against traditional gender roles. But it also opens her up to so much judgment.
It shows this double bind, you know? Like if women conform to those traditional expectations, they might be seen as submissive or limited. But if they challenge those expectations, then, well, then they risk being called promiscuous or irresponsible.
It's a lose-lose situation almost. And it's not just about sex and relationships, like that whole who built the world argument, remember?
Oh, yeah.
It brings up this question of, like, whose contributions really matter in society?
Totally. The male speaker, he was all about men's contributions to infrastructure and technology, right?
Yeah.
But the female speaker, she emphasized women's contributions to art, caregiving, that emotional labor. It's like they have two totally different ways of defining what's important. Like, who gets the credit for building society?
And I can't get over that comment from the male speaker, the one about a woman wanting a career being like a masculine thing.
Right.
It feels like he's trying to push women back into this box where the only things they should aspire to are marriage and motherhood.
It's this deeply ingrained belief, you know, that ambition, drive, those things just don't go with femininity. Like, women are supposed to be nurturing, supportive, but not too assertive or independent.
Exactly. But the female speaker, she challenges that. Like, yep. When she says, I create in my own way.
Such a powerful statement.
Yeah.
It's about self-determination, even after all the judgment and scrutiny.
For sure.
And it makes you wonder, right? Like, what does it mean to create in this day and age?
Yeah.
Does it have to be, like, something tangible? A building? A painting? Or can it be, well, can it be something less concrete, like raising a family? Building a business, or even just living a life that feels authentic and meaningful to you?
I think that's a question we all got to answer for ourselves. There's no, like, one right answer. And that's what makes this whole debate so interesting, you know? Mm-hmm. It makes us really examine our own beliefs about gender, relationships, the choices we make.
For sure. And even though this debate didn't give us any, well, easy answers,
It
started a conversation. It exposed the tensions, right, between biology, what society expects, and what individuals want. And it really challenged us to think critically, like, how are those forces shaping our own views, our own experiences?
It reminds us that there's no simple right or wrong when it comes to these things. They're complex. But by talking about it, by listening to different perspectives, by questioning our assumptions, maybe we can start to build a world that's, well, more equitable and fulfilling for everybody.
Absolutely. So as we wrap up this deep dive, we want you to keep thinking about these questions. What really resonated with you? What assumptions did this debate challenge? And how can we all move forward with more understanding, more empathy in our own lives, in our communities?
Definitely a lot to think about. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We'll see you next time.